Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 194. I've got Will here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Will?
Good.
Have you had a lot of exciting things happen lately?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I get to guest star on this podcast since I guest star once every few weeks.
What all has been going on with you?
I feel like I'm like really busy and also have nothing to do at the same time.
Yeah, I relate to that feeling. I am extremely busy at work, and yet I very rarely leave the house except to maybe take a walk around our neighborhood.
Yeah, it's like the entire day is just like, the entire day is no school, but way too much homework.
And, you know, it's not like we can complain because everyone in the country is pretty much in the same situation we are.
Yeah, and there's people who have it far worse. But
so last week, our self-quarantine following our vacation in Italy ended.
Yes.
And we sort of celebrated it. Well, I don't know, you didn't get to, but Mom and I went to the store. We went to my favorite grocery store, H Mart, which is a big Korean Asian grocery store. Bought a bunch of yummy food. And then we went to Costco. So we had done all the shopping. Probably the biggest disadvantage to self-quarantine was we couldn't shop for ourselves. So we went shopping last weekend for the first time ever. We were very careful. Brought a lot of hand sanitizer. But we did some shopping for ourselves. We went to Costco, went to H Mart, stocked up on some stuff. When I went to Costco, there was a sign out front. It was fairly busy, although Costco's always busy on a Saturday anyway. But there was a sign out front that said, items currently out of stock, toilet paper, hand soap, Kleenex, gloves, flushable wipes, disinfectant wipes, and paper towels. So all of the things that people were trying to go to Costco to get were not there. There were some other things we wanted, so it wasn't a wasted trip, but it's kind of like, we did kind of think maybe we should buy some toilet paper.
I am a bit sad that I wasn't able to go with that victory route with you, but I would like to say me and Henry celebrated too.
What did you do to celebrate?
Well, I personally rewatched an entire season of The Office because I was just done and just so burnt out.
A whole season of The Office? Which season did you watch?
I saw, I kind of picked up where I left off in terms of rewatching. I saw the second half of season 4 and like the first half of season 5. And I got to say, I could rewatch that show about a billion times.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I feel like for you, that's like comfort food.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely.
Like what you need to do when you just need to relax and do nothing else.
Well, also food is comfort food.
But yes, yeah. But I'm speaking metaphorically. Not literally. Literally only comfort food is comfort food. But
I'm saying I use them both.
Yeah. Do you have any anxiety about running out of toilet paper?
No, that is, I have anxiety about a lot of stuff. Toilet paper is not one of them.
Sometimes you get a little anxious. I can tell you get a little anxious when we're low on milk. And you feel like we have to go get milk because otherwise, what will you put on your cereal in the morning? I don't mean like serious anxiety, like medical grade anxiety. I just talk about like,
I mean,
you get a little nervous. You're like, oh, we need milk. Go get milk.
I don't think I developed some sort of phobia or complex around milk.
I've just noticed you remind me a lot when we're running out low on milk. You will remind me a lot about milk. To go get some milk.
I remind you of milk. That's good.
So no nervousness about running out of toilet paper?
No.
We actually
there's
have
so many things that you're nervous about, but I don't get nervous about toilet paper or
it
milk.
Just seems like a lot of people are stressed out about that right now, and that's why there's no toilet paper in the store, because every time they get some more in, everyone buys it all up and hoards it.
My theory is people are going to start... Actually, I think people are definitely going to start using, like, napkins and stuff like that. But then all the napkins
sure,
are going to run out.
Some people who are because they ran out and they can't find any toilet paper.
What I think is going to happen is so about like a month or two after the like whole like slime trend like burned out, because
kids making their own slime at home.
Yeah, and like all of the, you use like Elmer's glue for it, and all the Elmer's glue is already like stocked out and sold out. And It was like 2 months after that trend was a thing that they actually had like entire shelves of just Elmer's glue. I think it's going to be like that, where like in a few months, actually, I don't want to like refer to a certain time of when the coronavirus will end, but
I would hope that they can restock toilet paper in a few months.
In a certain amount of time when the coronavirus is like all gone and done, then there's going to be way too much toilet paper.
There's
going
to be excess toilet paper.
And then no one's going to like buy that much toilet paper.
And everyone's going to have like a closet at home full of it because they bought it when they thought they needed it.
There's going to be like this toilet paper apocalypse where all the companies spend way too much money on toilet paper when no one actually needs it anymore. Well, I mean, people still need toilet paper, but... And then, like, suddenly everything else is going to be super expensive just because they're stupid and bought too much toilet paper at the wrong time.
We have toilet paper right now, so it's not... We're not anywhere near a crisis. Like, have you ever heard of the Doomsday Clock?
I keep on hearing about it in the news, like, every day.
The Doomsday Clock is, like, something... And I don't know who keeps the Doomsday Clock, but, like, they set it so, like, you know, if it ever strikes midnight, that would be like doomsday. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, they'll move it from like 11:30 to 11:40 or something if something bad happens. Our toilet paper doomsday clock is probably about, I don't know, 9 o'clock.
So like the one in Harry Potter.
Like 9 p.m. So yeah. we've got a ways, but so we have some toilet paper. We have plenty of rolls, but eventually, you know, that doomsday clock is getting up closer. The doomsday toilet paper clock.
I think it was like a month or two ago, I saw a news story on my phone that said like nuclear clock is closer than it's been since like 1960s. And it had like a stock image of like a giant mushroom explosion on the front page.
I think that's when the doomsday clock thing started. I don't know all the details, but I think it was related to like nuclear safety and the risk that a nuclear holocaust would come.
But I just saw that and was like, huh. Because I'm so used to seeing that kind of stuff in the news.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine.
I think I'm keeping my fingers crossed that by the time we need toilet paper, it will be available again.
Oh, I thought you were talking about in general, not just
toilet
paper.
No, I'm just talking about toilet paper. I've been talking about toilet paper for the last 10 minutes, and for some reason I can't change subjects.
I don't think we should flex our toilet paper privilege too much on the podcast. Make some people feel bad, but
I actually had the thought today that we probably shouldn't tell people where we keep our toilet paper in our house because we might get a break-in. Someone might break into our house and try to steal our toilet paper.
You're so toilet paper privileged. This is a time for togetherness, but also within our own homes. We need to like figure out a way to like teleport toilet paper into people's homes.
Mom actually volunteered to bring some toilet paper to one of our neighbors.
Gosh.
Because she was contacting one of our neighbors. So we've got a neighbor that lives kind of across the street and down the street just a little bit it's like an older couple, retired couple, and she knows them pretty well. And she figured, you know, they're more at risk to go shopping. And when we did finally go out shopping last weekend, she texted her friend and said, hey, do you guys need anything? And she said, well, if you see any toilet paper, bring us some. And of course, we didn't see any toilet paper anywhere we went. And we came home and she said, well, if you really need some, we can share some of ours. And she said, no, we're okay for now.
You know, when people talk about catastrophic events, they usually talk about like this giant beast like coming out from this hole in the ground and like everyone's homes being destroyed and everything. I don't think anyone ever predicted that it would be like everyone in there staying inside and running out of toilet paper.
It is really strange. It's like, it's the kind of dystopian scenario that it's not very exciting, so they'd never make a movie out of it.
Yeah.
And yet, here we are.
Well, like, I guess we now have, like, inspirational stories of how we survived that great, like, Italian quarantine. But, like, all our story of view is just, we played some cards. We listened to some music.
We did some sightseeing.
Yeah. Like,
we ate some gelato.
Yeah. Dad bought some store-bought lasagna.
Well, that was just the last day.
Yeah.
Before that, we just walked around Rome and saw the sights. Ate some Italian food. Ate some pizza.
I saw a Christopher Nolan film on the way there. It's not an inspiring story. It's
still interesting, though. You know, this is going to be one of those events that I think is going to define your generation, right?
Oh yeah,
this'll be something that for the rest of your life you'll be like, well, tell me, like, where were you when the pandemic hit?
I am so irrationally like proud that like my own generation gets a thing.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna bug my kids about, oh well, back in quarantines, we didn't even get to play outside or whatever.
Yeah, so like the older millennials, like their first memory is probably 9/11. But now you have a memory that'd be like, yeah, you remember when we were in high school and the pandemic hit and we didn't even get to go to school for like half a year.
You can say back in COVID.
Speaking of, a couple days ago, it was April 1st.
Ooh, yes.
Yesterday, in fact. We're recording this on Thursday the 2nd, right?
Yes.
I believe that's it.
And
yesterday was April Fool's Day.
I have stories. Mostly because my April Fool's Day completely failed, like on my end. But
yeah,
we were killed it.
We were eating dinner, and I was talking to mom about this. And I think if I would have done it, it wouldn't have been as believable. But mom can pass it off, don't you think?
Oh my gosh!
Don't you think if it was me, like you guys would have been like, whatever, Dad.
Yeah.
But since it was mom, she could do it with a straight face. So she pulled up a screenshot of a news article that said Texas Governor Abbott has canceled school for the rest of the year and says all school children will have to repeat the year.
And it fooled. Okay.
And you guys were like, no.
When mom showed Henry something, I thought she was like doing the thing, like she'd show something funny she saw on Twitter and she'd like pull a serious face to make it funny. And then I was like, oh crap.
And you guys immediately believed it. Immediately believed it.
That was well done.
And you were like, no, this is horrible. And it was only like, I probably should have let it go on longer. But I just said, well, you might want to check the date on that.
Well, okay. I was also kind of like, well, I mean, if all my friends are going to be in that grade, and also like, if I get no school this year, and that means that this grade will be easier because I already got an extra grade.
But you were believing it.
Yeah, I was.
You were believing it. And then, of course, you know, once I said that, you both realized, oh, you got me. And it was kind of fun. But then mom texted it to Elizabeth, who she was on the last podcast. She's a school teacher, as you know, if you listen to the last podcast. Mm. And she believed it. And
okay, that's so taking it a bit too far.
She texted it to her, and then mom, I think she just texted back, wow, that sucks. And then mom called her a little while later, and she said, hey, so what do you think about that? And she was like, well, I don't know. That's pretty crazy. I'm walking right now. But as soon as I get back, I'm going to like text all my teacher friends and ask them about it and figure out what's going on.
I was using the absolute strongest willpower, pun intended, to not laugh.
And so, of course, mom's like, well, I should probably tell her because that would be really embarrassing for her. She's like, hey, did you guys hear the news? Did you hear that all the students are going to have to repeat this grade?
Mom is such a troll.
So she believed it, too. I didn't believe it. I knew what it was, like, immediately.
Keep forgetting how much
maybe I know
mom
just a little bit better. It was pretty funny though.
I mean, you know mom kind of well. That was sarcasm.
I've known her for a long, long time, even longer than you have. That was pretty funny.
I had no idea.
I don't know. It's really crazy.
Okay, can we describe Elizabeth's reaction though?
Yeah,
she just like she said she told her it was fake, and Elizabeth just didn't say anything for like 5 seconds, and then we all like bust out laughing, and she just like is like, yeah, it's a joke, I guess. She was really annoyed.
It was funny.
Well, kind of like jokingly annoyed, I guess, annoyed in like a joking manner. I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, mom killed it for April Fool's Day, and I feel like there's a stereotype that like the parents are always like supposed to like be like not in touch with generation and like are supposed to be terrible at pranks and not understand pranks. And the stereotype is that like the cool Zoomers are super awesome at pranks and they're the meme lords and prank masters. It was the exact opposite. Like mom killed it.
She got you.
Imagine if we took this even further and all the podcast listeners just stopped listening after they heard that like we were going to repeat school. And they just stopped listening there and like started tweeting about it. And we ended up starting fake news.
Yeah, well, I kind of led into this already talking about April Fool's Day. So I think anyone who's listening to this realizes that was the joke. But
yeah, it wasn't actually a joke. We're actually completely serious. So
It's been really weird because I'm still super busy at work. I work pretty much all day and into the night every day because, you know, handling a lot of the issues around what's going on in the world for my company as a company lawyer. Have you noticed that when I'm on a conference call and I'm talking to my phone, I do a lot of pacing? Surely you've noticed this.
Yeah, and I can totally see that.
I pace a lot and I go from room to room. And at the end of the day, like, my muscles and my legs are sore from pacing so much.
That is every member of our family.
Does everybody pace?
Yeah, I keep forgetting that, like, every member of our family is very ADD.
I do, for
ADHD.
Sure. I don't know, like, I think better when I'm walking around. And so, like, if I'm, especially when I, like, sometimes in a conference call, if it's just other people talking, I'll just be sitting down. But if I get called upon, then I'll, like, stand up and start pacing because it's, I can talk more easily when I'm walking around. I'm not walking around right now, though. So that's a little different. Maybe the podcast is the one exception.
Have you done the thing where, like, if you sit down for more than, like, 5 minutes and you have to, like, tap your foot or, like, shake something?
Yeah, I do that. I do that.
I get
fidgety. I think pretty much everyone in our family gets pretty fidgety.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine just sitting down at a desk and just, like, staying completely still and just answering calls the entire time.
Yeah. I'm still kind of...
Like, at home.
I'm still cooking a lot, baking a lot of bread.
Yes.
I've got a recipe where I can eat breakfast, mix up the bread, and have the bread ready for lunch to make a sandwich. Like, it's a really quick recipe.
It's good bread.
And it's pretty good bread.
Every time I keep thinking, he's making bread again, he's so sick of bread, and I'll eat it and have, five more slices.
It's just good to have around. Actually, for dinner tonight, I made French toast with homemade bread.
That was good.
It was really good.
That was so good.
It was really tasty French toast.
We are growing our own ingredients. We're an agricultural family.
Yeah, we're not quite growing the wheat. Well, and grinding the wheat.
We are buying our own ingredients from local grocery stores and then throwing them together and cooking them ourselves.
I went to Costco and I bought like a 50-pound bag of flour. And so we can make just a ton of bread with that.
Yeah.
If you've got flour and yeast and water and salt, you can make so much bread.
We run out of flour so quickly. We have zero flour all the time. We have like no flour.
We have a ton of flour right now because I just bought a huge bag of it.
I feel like flour is like your like supreme of like collecting different like types.
Yeah, I do have too much different types of flour right now. It's true. Mm-hmm. I do that with rice too. Like we probably have 5 different kinds of rice right now in our pantry. We've got like the Japanese medium grain rice. We've got some long grain like basmati rice or jasmine rice. We've got some of the kind of rice you use to make risotto.
I have to ask.
Arboreal rice. And we've got wild rice. That's at least 5 kinds.
I have to ask. This might be a stupid question, but like,
we've got some sticky rice, like the high glutinous rice that you use to make like mango sticky rice too. Sorry. I had to finish my rice.
Lots of vinegar.
I feel like
too.
You've never watched Forrest Gump, but I feel like the guy who's talking about all the different kinds of things you can do with shrimp.
Yeah, or corn in a Pee-wee's Big Adventure. But I have to ask, like, when you're making bread, are there, like, different types of flour that you can use for bread? And what difference does it make?
So, this is a topic I know something about. You're getting me started. I swear you're just trolling me. But there's all-purpose flour, AP flour, is, like, just your general, you're going to bake something, you use all-purpose flour. Usually in a recipe, if it just says flour, talking about all-purpose flour. It's just a medium gluten flour. Bread flour is like a higher gluten. So the flour that I bought the big 50-pound bag of is a higher gluten flour. That means it's got more protein in it, and it's stronger. And when you knead it, it gets stiffer, and it rises more. You use it for like bread and for pizza crust. There's the opposite of that called cake flour that's really low protein, low gluten. And you would use that for a cake because you want the cake to be light and fluffy and not like really chewy or dense. Those are the main types. There's other things like, you know, like semolina flour that they use to make.
Flour.
They use that to make pasta. There is, you know, your whole grain flour, your rye flour. There's lots of different kinds of flour. And I know a thing or two about flour. your uncle Jeff called mom today, mom's brother, and said he's going to send us some sourdough starter in the mail. I don't know if it'll arrive. I have a feeling it'll be like sequestered and like the Department of Homeland Security is going to like open it up and like detonate it because they think it's a bomb or something.
That does. That seems like a stereotypical like thing that a distant relative sends you.
But he's going to send us some sourdough starter. You know what sourdough starter is?
Like the yeast?
It's yeast, but it's wild yeast. So if you just take some, if you mix flour and water and just set it out on your counter, it'll start to grow because it's collecting yeast from the air around it.
I think you told me about this one.
There are different ways to do it to create your own starter. Usually I think you do add a little bit of like manufactured yeast just to get it started. But then it grows and grows and grows and you feed it and it grows larger. And then you use some of it and you throw some of it away and you keep feeding it. And it can just go on and on. Like you can make bread without adding any yeast to it.
You know what? If I get to like ramble on and on about like sci-fi movies and stuff like that, you can talk about flour and yeast, all you want.
It's true. Okay. I feel like we should talk a little bit about like, what are some recommendations that people should watch if they're stuck at home and maybe you have a streaming service, maybe you have Netflix or Disney Plus or Hulu.
Oh, actually,
what shows should people be watching right now?
Incidentally, I've kind of been developing like a, in my head, just like a quarantine safety pack.
Mm-hmm.
The TV show to get you through would be The Office. Also, well, I would say Doctor Who, but that's also the type of thing that like can take like a full year to like fully get invested in because there's like, it's like all the lore and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I would say The Office. I have one for like each like medium. So for TV show, it's The Office. For albums, it's The National's Sleep Well Beast Sleep Well Beast, actually.
Trouble Will Find Me.
I've been listening to Sleep Well Beast, and I think it's even better.
It is pretty good.
Honestly. And I think that one's a bit more, like, accessible, too.
Yeah.
Like, it has, like, a wider appeal. Both are amazing. Animal Crossing New Horizons. That one's kind of a no-brainer. Like, everyone knows that, like, Animal Crossing games are kind of known for, like, helping people through depression.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit on the last episode, that it's, like, it just came out, and everyone's like, this is the perfect game for sheltering at home during a pandemic.
Apparently, it got, like, user review bombed on Metacritic because, like, apparently the first player who plays it gets a slight advantage, like, with New Leaf. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. Review bombs happen all the time. That's, like, that's just status quo.
Also, it's not like Animal Crossing isn't like a competitive game, really. It's just a relax and do little tasks things.
How do you review bomb Animal Crossing?
It's not like you're competing against the other people who are playing, really.
Animal Crossing is like the most wholesome game on the planet. It's just peaceful.
Yep. I love the music. It's so relaxing. Anyway.
It's such a relaxing game. Everyone needs to play it. It appeals to basically everyone, and especially during the quarantine. So, yeah. TV shows. Do you have any? Wait, what other TV shows?
What are the TV shows? You know, mom and I started watching a crazy one that's like, it's not totally family friendly. I know this is a family friendly podcast. It's got some bad language.
Is this another K-drama? Crazy?
No, we started watching this documentary that's popular on Netflix right now called Tiger King, and it's about people that like own giant cats, like lions and tigers and panthers and stuff, and like have their own private zoos, and these people are crazy, like legitimately crazy. It's really wacky.
Oh, I will say his content's a little PG-13, but there's a channel on YouTube who basically makes TV series now, kind of. It's called Emp Lemon. He started out just making like memes, and then he basically got super upset about that and kind of like raged publicly. But then he went from making memes to basically making like 50-minute long internet documentaries. Like, he basically makes documentaries about like weird things that happen on the internet now, and they're each like 50 minutes long, and he edits them all on his own. I actually really recommend watching those.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually really interesting.
We do, mom and I will watch a good Korean TV show. And there are some good ones on Netflix right now. I find that the ones I find the most entertaining are the ones that have to do with ghosts. So there was one called Oh My Ghost that's really funny about this young girl ghost who's like trying to figure out how to like pass on to the next life. And it's really funny.
So like Cats?
Maybe. I don't know. I suppose it's like the Jellicle Ball. I have no idea. Anyway. But then there's one we're watching right now that's a current one. So they're just coming out with new episodes called Hi Bye Mama, which is kind of a silly name. But it's about this woman who she dies at the beginning of it. And then for 5 years, she's just a ghost, like following her child around. So she dies while she's really pregnant. Cool. She dies while she's pregnant. And then her baby is born, but she never gets to see her baby while she's alive. So she wants to just hang around her baby. But then she gets the opportunity to come back to life. But it's a real awkward situation because her husband has remarried. And suddenly she's back.
That's a really cool premise.
It's actually a really good movie. Like, it's really interesting. And the funny thing is there's a crossover between that show and Oh My Ghost, because I think the same people made it. So there's like some of the characters like weave in and out. But anyway, it's actually really good.
Awesome.
And it's funny, but it's also like really sad because it talks about grief and what it means for people to be like really sad when other people leave. And it has a lot to do with the fact that, like, you know, there's like one... There's also this group of ghosts that hang around like this mausoleum that like all of them haven't passed on yet. And one of the ghosts is someone who she's like a girl who killed herself. And it talks about the fact that, you know, none of our lives are truly just our own, because all of our lives influence the people around us.
That actually sounds awesome.
It's really pretty good, but it's very sad. And it's interesting because like the main characters are all like good people trying to do good things, but they're all motivated by different things. There are no real villains in it. It's more like, you know, different people's idea of what a good thing to do in a situation. I don't know. It's actually really good. I like it a lot.
That is awesome.
And it's nice because Korean TV shows are like 16 episodes long and then they're over. They just tell one story and then they end. And usually they don't do like a second season. So it's like a one really long movie, sort of. Anyway. So those are good. If you just want to binge a show, you can binge a Korean TV show. Some of them are good. Some of them aren't so good. If you start one and it's just not doing it for you, I recommend you just stop and find another one.
They're not like the first season is, but like it gets better later.
Yeah, because usually there's just one season. So if this story isn't interesting or... you know, entertaining to you, just give up on it. Move on to another one.
I would say The Mandalorian, but I think everyone knows that at this point.
Yes, The Mandalorian's great. But I think everyone knows that. I think were working. I don't know how the pandemic might have interrupted this, but they were working on the second season of The Mandalorian.
Oh, cool.
But I don't know. Everything's been delayed because of the pandemic, so who knows?
Now things are getting serious.
Yeah, seriously.
Mom has been introducing us to Fringe.
You guys started watching Fringe. Fringe is a pretty good show.
It's a bit weird because, like, it was made in 2008. And, like, it's weird because, like, there are some parts that are kind of dated. But the parts that aren't dated are, like, amazing.
It's pretty well done. And Michael Giacchino did the music. And, like... I think J.J. Abrams created it with someone else, but a lot of really good directors were involved. And like,
it's starting to get really good. We watched the episode with the bald guy.
The Observer. And
And I'm probably going to sound really frustrating to anyone who's watched the entire show. But like, that's like the like Fugitive of the Dragoon or like, I don't know, like a mid-episode of Stranger Things. Like the one episode where the season suddenly gets like really good.
Yeah, so Mom and I watched that show when it very first came on TV. It was like a new show and we thought we'd check it out. Mm-hmm. And that was the episode where we were like, all right, this show's really good. And we like it. So
it's like that episode of The Flash, like halfway through season one, that has Reverse Flash in it. Where like basically just for like halfway through the season, like suddenly gets super investing.
Yeah.
It's weird because like, since only parts of it are dated, I'll like watch an episode and the first half will be like, I don't want to watch this show. And then halfway through it, like, it's like it suddenly swaps directors and suddenly gets like awesome from here and there out.
Yeah.
I think it'll get great in later seasons.
It's pretty good. Fringe is a good one to, if you're looking. Some of it's a little like gory, like in kind of sci-fi gore way.
Yeah, and the first two episodes, tense,
but it's pretty good.
First two episodes start with some non-child appropriate stuff, and then I think the third episode starts with like an old guy talking about cows. Yeah. So yeah, it improves.
Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I've got a story that's not about science, but it is about a scientist, and it makes you realize not all scientists are extremely smart. This scientist in particular makes me think maybe he's got some interesting ideas, but maybe he's not the smartest guy. Astrophysicist gets magnet stuck up his nose while inventing coronavirus device.
I mean, doesn't everyone?
An Australian named Dr. Daniel Reardon ended up in the hospital after inserting magnets in his nostril while building a necklace that warns you when you touch your face.
Well, yeah. That happens to me like all the time.
He had these, you know, the super strong magnets?
Yeah.
He was playing with some of those, and he was trying to invent a device that would, if you lifted your hand to your face, it would sound an alarm. Here's what he says. I have some electronic equipment, but really no experience or expertise in building circuits or things. I had a part that detects magnetic fields, and I thought if I built a circuit that could detect the magnetic field and we wore the magnets on our wrists, then it could set off an alarm if you brought it too close to your face. A bit of boredom and isolation made me think of that.
Okay, I have so many issues with this.
Okay, well, wait, because it gets better.
All right.
He said, the device never worked. He said, I accidentally invented a necklace that buzzes continuously unless you move your hand closer to your face. So it worked out the opposite. And then he said, after scrapping that idea, I was still a bit bored playing with the magnets. It's the same logic as clipping pegs to your ears. I clipped them to my earlobes, then clipped them to my nostril, and things went downhill pretty quickly when I clipped the magnets to my other nostril.
Okay, so first of all, so do you just get other people to like put on your glasses or whatever? And then it's other people touching your face, which is worse.
Well, you can touch your glasses and not your face. Here's what happened.
Oh, you have to touch it. Okay.
Yeah. Here's what happened. He said he placed two magnets inside his nostril and two on the outside. When he removed the magnets from the outside of his nose, the two inside stuck together. And then he attempted to use his remaining magnets to remove them. At this point, my partner who works at a hospital was laughing at me. I was trying to pull them out, but there's this ridge on the bottom of your nose you can't get past. After struggling for 20 minutes, I decided to Google the problem and found an article about an 11-year-old boy who had the same problem. The solution was in that was more magnets to put on the outside to offset the pull from the ones on the inside. I was pulling toward and trying to remove the magnets, and they clipped to each other, and I lost my grip, and those two magnets ended up in my left nostril while the other one was in my right. At this point, I ran out of magnets. He said he tried to use pliers to get them out, but the pliers became magnetized.
Are you sure this isn't an episode of, like, The Amazing World of Gumball?
So every time he brought the pliers close to his nose, his entire nose would shift toward the pliers, and then the pliers would stick to the magnet.
This actually sounds like a cartoon. It's indistinguishable.
He says, my partner took me to the hospital that she works in because she wanted all her colleagues to laugh at me. The doctors thought it was quite funny, making comments like, is an injury due to self-isolation and boredom.
So, okay, this is not a laughing matter. Self-isolation is a serious thing.
He says, when they got three out from the left nostril, the last one fell down my throat. That could have been a bit of a problem if I swallowed it or breathed it in. But thankfully, I was able to lean forward and cough it out. Needless to say, I'm not going to play with magnets anymore.
You just consume everything in your sight.
So he's an astrophysicist, but I have to question. Isolation and boredom is not doing this guy any favors at all.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not sure how to add to that. You just like...
I don't know. It was a funny story.
whatever I say, it can't be more like hilarious or like over the top than that.
It was a pretty funny story. You want to share one of your stories?
All right. An Oregon police department is asking residents to stop calling 911 because they've run out of toilet paper. You thought we were finished talking about toilet paper, but no.
You can never be finished talking about toilet paper.
This is by Alan Kinn of CNN. As police across the U.S. brace for continued emergency calls in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak, one Oregon police department is dealing with 911 calls for an entirely different type of emergency. Residents are calling because they've run out of toilet paper.
How do you respond to that kind of call?
I mean, you gotta ask them, like, is it an emergency? And also, like, were police, like, really trained for that kind of situation?
I wonder if people are stealing toilet paper from grocery store bathrooms.
I want to know how.
Like, there's none on the shelf, but they can go into the bathroom and...
I want to know if, like...
Just a thought.
Maybe police have, like, a special, like, secret button where, like, you type in a code, a secret button, they press it, and, like, a special compartment comes out and a roll of toilet paper gets pushed out, and the special compartment seals in.
The emergency toilet paper. Yeah, that, like, seems like something more the fire department would have.
And some person with, like, a little headpiece says, "We've acquired the toilet paper."
Or like a spy movie.
The Newport Police Department put a notice on Facebook urging residents to stop making emergency calls due to a toilet paper shortage. "It's hard to believe that we even have to post this," the police wrote. "Do not call 911 just because you ran out of toilet paper. You will survive without our assistance. Toilet paper is unavailable at many stores and supermarkets as people..." Yeah, everyone knows that. The police offered up some humorous, friendly tips for those that are dealing with a shortage. "In fact, history offers many other options for you in your time of need if you cannot find a roll of your favorite soft, ultra-plush two-place such as scented tissue," the police wrote. You've already heard all the toilet paper jokes. Why do these guys think that, like, they're not adding anything?
Well, it is important to let people know not to call 911. I wonder how many calls they got, does it say?
Doesn't. The police suggested using receipt papers, newspapers, cloth rags, and even an empty toilet paper roll. Only receipts from, like, really terrible stores. Like, yeah. If you go to, like...
You have to figure out what to do with it, because you can't flush that stuff. I guess you put it in a plastic bag and put it in the trash.
I'm only using receipt papers if it's from, like...
CVS. Like, the receipts at CVS are long enough that you could... That would work.
Only if it's a receipt from some, like, mediocre place, like, I don't know, Chipotle. I have an unreasonable hate for Chipotle. Can you imagine going to, like, some store and being like, "Oh, I just want to buy something so I can use your receipt as toilet paper"? Like,
you don't have toilet paper, so please give me a really long receipt.
Okay, the question is it a good or a bad business proposal to accept a really long order so that they can use your receipt as toilet paper?
I don't know. I mean, it might be good if you want to, you know,
keep
your customers happy.
It also probably means they don't like your establishment very much.
No, I don't think so. I think you can.
If they're using that for...
I think you can like an establishment and still find utility for the receipt.
I feel like taking a receipt and using it as toilet paper...
That's too personal.
I don't know.
We don't need to get that personal.
All right. "Be resourceful," police wrote. "Be patient. There is a TP shortage. This too shall pass. Just don't call 911. We cannot bring you toilet paper. But the Secret Service..." Now, how much do we really know about the Secret Service?
I think they only bring the president and senators toilet paper.
They have a special button where they get, like, this gold-plated toilet paper.
They probably do. I've got a story that seems like it should be a Florida man story, but it takes place very far from Florida, almost as far as you can get from Florida and still be in the United States. This is a Washington man story. A man was arrested Sunday after leading troopers through a high-speed chase with his dog sitting in the driver's seat. A spokeswoman for the Washington State Patrol said, "The man from Lakewood, Washington, hit two cars on separate occasions and failed to stop both times, leading state troopers on a high-speed chase up Interstate 5, the spokeswoman said. "No major injuries were reported in either crash. He was driving very erratically, so erratically that multiple people called 911. Trooper Heather Axman told CNN, the suspect was driving absolutely recklessly, and a pursuit ensued at 109 miles an hour. One of the troopers attempted to corner the suspect's car, looked inside, and realized a pit bull was sitting in the driver's seat while the suspect steered.
Wait, what?
As he was trying to evade troopers, the suspect drove onto Centennial Trail, a trail for pedestrians and bicycles in Snohomish County, known for being busy, according to Axman. The fact that there wasn't anybody on the trails was nothing shy of miraculous, Axman said. We are very thankful. Eventually, the troopers were able to use spike strips to end the pursuit. During the arrest, Axman said the suspect gave them one explanation. He was trying to teach his dog how to drive. This is definitely worthy of Florida Man, but this is in Washington.
I'm just having an existential crisis. Just thinking, like, what has humanity come to?
So Axman said, I wish I could make this up. I've been a trooper for almost 12 years now, and wow, I've never heard this excuse. I've been through a lot of high-speed chases. I've stopped a lot of cars, and never have I gotten an excuse that they were trying to teach their dog how to drive.
This is just depressing.
The man was charged with reckless endangerment, hit and run, driving under the influence, and felony eluding. His bond was set at $8,500, and he is set to appear in court on March 30th. I guess that's already happened.
You know what the worst part is? This guy wasn't driven insane because of the quarantine. He's just really freaking stupid.
As for the dog, Axman said the very sweet girl was taken to the animal shelter after her owner was arrested. I don't think a pit bull should be driving your car. I don't think any dog will. I'm just going to draw a line right there. No dogs driving the car. We had a dog that always wanted to drive the car, but we never let our dog drive the car.
You can't see it on the podcast, but my face is like melting into the abyss. I'm so disappointed.
It's really lucky no one was hurt.
I didn't think it was possible for me to be disappointed, but
I gotta think this person, they didn't say it, but there must have been something else going on in this person's life.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
must have been something else going on.
Just
waking up one day and deciding, hey, you know, now's a good day. Now's a good time to teach my dog how to drive.
We can make this family friendly. Don't do drugs, kids.
Don't do drugs.
Stay in. Well, I mean, you can't stay in school. That would be bad because then you get the coronavirus. But stay in homeschool.
Stay in online school.
Drugs Finish are not out the way year. Out.
You don't want to have to repeat the same year.
Talk to someone or a trusted therapist or something like that.
Let's do some hypotheticals real quick. What I just said was only
hypothetical. Oh. The artist for that drop is so good. Keep on listening to that song.
All right. I've got a hypothetical here. This is from Hypothetical Situation, a subreddit. I found a couple of good ones. Not all of the hypotheticals there are good, but here's a couple that I thought were kind of interesting. You find a small, mysterious plastic box with a button on it. This is from the user Mutant Llama 1.
I knew it was from Reddit.
You find a small, mysterious plastic box with a button on it. The plastic is structured just like that of a McDonald's toy. When you press the button, everyone within 20 feet of you suddenly falls dead. You don't know this until after pressing it the first time. What would be the proper legal response to this? Calling the police? Would you even tell them?
This is exactly like something from Meanwhile by Jason Shika.
So you find a plastic box, there's a button, you push the button, and suddenly everyone around you for 20 feet dies, except for you.
It's just like the Doomsday box. Just like the Doomsday machine.
What do you do? Meanwhile,
it's an interactive comic.
Do you call the police and tell them what happened? Or do you do nothing and just pretend like nothing ever happened?
If it was on a more minor scale, like you press the box and everyone around you like starts coughing or something like that, then what I would do is I would just say, like, I got this box and like I accidentally dropped it and everyone started coughing. I would probably say that I was
kind of suspicious, though. Like, what do you mean you got this box? What do you mean you accidentally pressed it?
I think that's to be the type of thing where like I'd be so like confused about what to do and like so like freaking nervous about like what decision to make that like nothing would happen for a while until something happens because nothing happened.
I think this is sort of like a, it's like a film noir type thing where the, you know, the innocent person gets caught up in this horrible behavior through no fault of their own, but they have a hard time explaining it to someone. So, you know, one of your options is you call the police and you just say, I just found this box. I didn't know what it was. I pushed the button and it caused all these deaths. But are they going to believe you? Are they going to be like, no, I think you knew it was going to kill people and you killed them and we're going to try it for murder?
If it's a film noir, maybe there's an old lover that like pretend to know nothing about the box. And she's like, well, and halfway through is a twist of like, well, that must have been one of my boxes from the old factory. And I figure out some new information about her and the box that she never told me. I feel like I'm adding too much lore to this.
A little bit, but, you know, do you feel like anyone would believe you? I mean, it's a crazy scenario anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't know it was going to kill anyone, so clearly you're not guilty of murder because pushing a plastic box button is not against the law.
I guess, yeah, really, like, on face value, there's nothing wrong with pushing a button. The fact that, like, people dying shouldn't, that shouldn't make it a worse situation at all. Because, like,
well, I think it's culpability, right? You're not responsible for it because you didn't know that would happen. Now, if you pushed it twice, if you, like, took it to, like, your worst enemy's house and pushed it, then you knew what you were doing. Then it becomes murder.
Yeah. If people know that, like, when you push the button, everyone's going to die, that would make for, like, the coolest, like plot line ever. Like, don't push the button. I'm going to push it. Like, yeah, I think if you just push the button and, like, I don't know, a hamburger fell out of the sky or something, then no one's going to act like pushing the button was wrong. If you push the button and, like, you got a mosquito bite, everyone's going to be like, oh, it's just a button. You meant no harm. If I pushed the button and had no idea what I was going to do, just, like, mosquito bite, and everyone around me died, they're not going to be like, oh, it was just a button. They're going to be like, what were you doing? You can't push random buttons.
Yeah, I think the responsible thing to do would be to tell someone that, you know, explain the situation so that it wouldn't happen again. But there's just always that risk that they're not going to believe you, that somehow they're going to say you're responsible because you're the one who pushed the button.
Maybe, like, if I came to the police with, like, so much, like, emotion and, like, distress over it and, like...
I worry about that sometimes. Like, if I accidentally killed someone or injured someone, let's say, if I accidentally injured someone and it was absolutely not my fault, I didn't mean to do it, it seems like they would be judging you by like how distraught you seem. What if you don't seem like sad enough? They're like, well, you don't seem that worried about it. I'm like, well, how distraught am I supposed to be? I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to keep a good face on. Another hypothetical. This is by Cam King, also on the same subreddit, hypothetical situation. How would you live if every day happened twice? You live in a weird semi-time loop with the clone of yourself from 24 hours in the future. You experience every day twice, and anything that happened to the current you affects the clone as if it happened a day earlier. On the other hand, anything that happens to the clone, you will experience on the second replay of the day with the version of you that is 24 hours younger. While the clone moves on to be the current you for tomorrow. Confusing, I know, but how would it affect your life? So essentially you get two chances to do everything. You live each day twice. You're just in this little time loop. I think of it like this little coil. It's moving forward, but it experiences every life twice, every day twice.
Whenever I hear situations like this, I think it was Phoebe who pointed out on the podcast once, like, or I don't think it was on the podcast. I think it was just one time we were in the car. She pointed out that, like, hypotheticals like this always make you feel like they're going to make you feel like you're cheating and like you have an unfair advantage to everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it would be like, you get to avoid doing the same mistake twice, but you're not really avoiding mistakes the first time, right?
Yeah, maybe
you're still experiencing it one time, but then you're repeating it the next time.
I mean, we still like go about our life trying to avoid mistakes, but like maybe if everyone had that, then I'd be slightly more okay with it. Still a little weird, but
one thing you could do is you could help other people. You could find out what's going on in their life the first time around, and then you could help them avoid accidents or something the second time around.
Do it like a...
So it wouldn't really help yourself because you've still experienced it.
Sorry.
Right? Because the clone version of you that lives 24 hours in advance has already experienced it. But you could observe what's going around you and then prevent them from happening the second time.
But also, think about this. What if it's like... What if you try to, like, prevent something from happening and something worse happens? And then you can't undo that.
Well, that's always, you know, that's always the time travel scenario, right?
Yeah, like you try to prevent something and something worse happens.
Unintended consequences.
But then you can't undo that. And then you wish you had gone for the first option, which you actually did, but no longer exists in this timeline.
You'd be awfully tempted to do, like, to be a gambler, right? To, like, bet on... Well, right now there aren't sports, but if there were sports, you could bet on sporting events or like horse racing. And so the first version of you would just like watch the game, and the second version of you would place bets on it because you don't even know what the outcome's going to be.
If we're going with the tropes, then someone's going to try to catch you and like be you're cheating.
If you're going with the tropes, then obviously, you know, somehow that's going to lead to your ruin because... people will catch you cheating, or they'll realize, why do they always know the winner before it happens?
Well, there's also the, like, you can read people's minds and say everything, like, well or before they're saying it.
Yeah, that would be just creepy. I think you'd want to try not to do that, because people would be like, I don't like being around you, you're creepy.
I could gain a lot of... If I did that with, like, every clone day, I could slowly rise to power.
Yeah, you can manipulate people.
All right, now I figure out what to do. I'll just rise to power.
So we start out with, like, you can help people, and now we're like, you can manipulate people, and you can
I will become the great psychic. I will become everyone's deity.
You can make, like, short-term investments. You could just look at the stock market and go, all right, what stocks are going to gain a whole lot of money on this particular day?
Now we've got to figure it out. We start out small. We start out just, like... being like the great psychic that everyone pays for, that's when you take over the world.
It's weird to think about, like, in this scenario, like, which version of you is actually you. In the hypothetical, they talk about the clone that lives 24 hours ahead, but really they're both you, right? You're just looping around.
They're like,
you're experiencing it in both timelines.
People say, like, well, the real you isn't deep inside, it's how you play off of other things. And that's true. This time you're kind of playing off of real life, but also with hidden background knowledge. So it's like it's half you.
I feel like this is a scenario that could be developed more into like a movie or a TV show or something.
Which
it's pretty interesting to think about.
I think those are the best hypotheticals. If they can be made into like an amazing movie, then that's a quality hypothetical.
I actually like that hypothetical a lot.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself. Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
So last week on the podcast, we did not do treat yourself because we had been self-quarantined so long we had no more treats around the house to try for treat yourself. When we were self-quarantined, we were trying to order food from like Amazon or Walmart or wherever we could get it from. And... managed to get a Walmart or an Amazon order, Amazon Fresh, which is their delivery service. I picked out some strange looking treats from Amazon Fresh, like the strangest ones I could find there. And that's what we're going to try here. So we have Sesame Blues, which are corn chips with sesame seeds. They're corn tortilla chips with sesame seeds, blue corn. I don't know. These look pretty good. They're just made with organic blue corn and sesame seeds. These look a little stranger. It's Benitos. They are like Doritos, but made with beans.
So,
super powerful beans, in fact.
So are
Pinto
they going,
beans with sea salt.
Are they going for like a healthier alternative or like?
I don't know. I sort of get that feeling that these are supposed to be healthy, but I'm not sure they really look all that healthy.
Are they going healthy or are they going hipster? Or are they going both?
I like that the Sesame Blues, these blue corn tortilla chips with sesame seeds. The name of the company that makes them is called the Garden of Eaten. Like, and it's
I think I've seen that pun before.
Garden of Eden.
My prediction is this. My prediction is this is gonna be one of those treats where it's like you just keep on eating it and you're not sure if you like it or not.
Oh, by the way, I'm here for treat yourself.
Like you just keep on eating it.
Let me turn your mic on there.
Hello, I am also here for treat yourself.
Henry's here for treat yourself.
My prediction is you'll just like keep on eating it and have no idea what to think of it.
I don't know. Here's my prediction. Like, I think that the blue corn tortilla chips with sesame seeds will be tasty. The bonitos, I don't know. I could go either way. I think they probably won't be that good is my prediction.
I feel like they're going to be bland, at least.
All right, passing around.
Yeah, the blue sesame ones look weird. They look like...
The blue sesame chips.
Yeah. I kind of
like black with white dots.
That's kind of a cool color, though.
Yeah.
What do we think of sesame blues from Garden of Eden?
You know, I get that we have to, like, have them on our own to, like, judge them fully, but I feel like it's not even fair to, because, like, I feel like you can't get the full experience without, like, putting some, like, guacamole or something on it.
Guacamole or queso or bean dip.
But then you'd be judging the dip, too.
It's true.
They would be good with dip. I think they're delicious. They kind of taste like Tostitos, but with sesame, even though you can't really taste the sesame.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
It's basically just chips, but slightly thicker, which I think the thin is an advantage.
Here's what I think. I think the taste is okay, but the texture is not very good.
I think they needed... There's more of just like a sesame aftertaste than like a full taste. I think I need to go further with that. So I'll give it a okay.
The texture is kind of bad, okay. but it doesn't really bother.
I'll just give it a solid okay.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. I will call it okay.
I think they need to like... They need to like fully commit, I think.
Yeah, I think...
I feel like I could snack on these without really thinking about it.
I could eat them if I had something to dip them in, but I don't know that I would just snack on them alone.
It's not a meh, but...
All right.
I can't really call it delicious.
And the next one is Benito's Super Powerful Beans, Pinto and Sea Salt Pinto Bean Chips. And the name of this company is Bean Example.
This one I have...
It's like, get it? It's be an example, and it looks like bean example.
They're terrible.
Yeah, that's
like
pretty,
this.
That's pretty horrible.
These could be gross. I have no idea where these are going to land.
Weird or bad, in my opinion. They're going to be pretty bland.
I don't know. Let's pass them around. These are pinto bean tortilla chips. You pass it to your brother.
I'm a little scared.
These could be a strong gross. I have no idea.
Neither do I.
Or they could be really delicious.
What do we think of Benito's?
They take a bit to get used to, but they're decent. They're like, it's hard to describe.
I like these better than the sesame tortilla chips.
Yeah. Weirdly, like, they do kind of taste like pinto beans, and they are pretty bland, so I got that right.
They're very salty.
They definitely have a strong bean flavor.
Which I like. I didn't think they had a very strong bean flavor myself.
Like, there's definitely an aftertaste of bean. There's something about it that's holding it back from being delicious.
I actually like these. I'm surprised because it's the opposite of what I expected. I think these are delicious. And the blue sesame or sesame blue chips are just okay.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Something about this is holding it back from being delicious.
Yeah. So
what do you think? They're
I
just
feel
okay?
Like okay.
I'll give it a strong okay. It's a strong okay. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell what it is about it. It's just like something about it is just a bit too bland. Yeah. But I don't know how it would be more flavorful.
Either one of these would be better dip, you know, used to dip something.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm going to knock the last down also to an okay. I feel like they're about the same. They taste pretty similar.
I almost feel like I should drop the Sesame Blues one down to a meh.
None of these are gross. But
if you enjoyed it, then I feel like it has to be at least okay. Or low okay.
Well, the texture was really pretty bad. I thought kind of cardboardy. But I liked the bean ones. I thought they were legitimate.
They're kind
delicious.
Of the same to me.
They also, I don't know. Maybe part of it is like you're just thinking, I'd just rather have a Dorito.
Yeah, I still
or
feel
a tortilla chip.
Yeah, tortilla chip.
This is kind of like a...
So that is Treat Yourself. And that is our podcast. Thanks, Henry, for joining us for Treat Yourself.
Thank you.
Thanks, William, for being on the podcast today. And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our episodes. If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And the other thing is, You can leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps us get the podcast out to other people who might not be able to find it. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.